for the Alagos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. The Alagos Radio with Michael Nevradakis begins now. Was Yannis Kotsiras starting off our broadcast today singing Anathemase. This is the Alagos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which bridges the global Greek community and which airs worldwide on 17 radio stations across 5 continents on shortwave and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and today on our broadcast we will feature an interview with renowned Greek documentary filmmaker Yorgo Avieropoulos, who is known for the Exandas series of documentaries and whose latest work, Agora, observed the impacts of the Greek economic crisis on the ground over a period of 4 years. This is a documentary which has won a number of awards and distinctions at film festivals throughout Europe and the world, and Avieropoulos will talk more about this documentary and his work in today's interview. And following this interview, stay tuned for our Commentary of the Week segment, where we will talk more about the latest developments regarding Greece's supposed negotiations with the European Union, the actions of the new Syriza government, and Syriza's choice for the new president of the Hellenic Republic. This commentary will then be followed up by a special musical feature on Greek singer Kostas Makedonas. Coming up now, though, is this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with documentary filmmaker Yorgo Avieropoulos. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio.
Joining us today here on the Yalogos Radio in the Yalogos interview series is Greek documentary filmmaker and producer Yorgos Avgeropoulos. And Yorgo, thank you for joining us today on our program.
Thank you.
Your involvement with documentary filmmaking began in the early 2000s when you began the well-known Exandas series of documentaries, and over the years your filmmaking has taken you to Latin America, to Asia, and to Africa and other locations as well. What inspired you to get into documentary filmmaking, and how would you describe your experiences shooting documentaries in these diverse locations?
Okay, the idea developed in 2000 when during my trips, let's say, in Latin America together with my companion, we were seeing things, and we consider ourselves very lucky that we were there, and we managed to see problems and discuss with people from different cultures and hear their problems. We thought it was going to be very good for other people to watch these things that we were witnessing. So in 2000, we invest all of our money in order to buy equipment and to finance our filming trips. So we started filming, actually, without having the money to pay the rent of our house. The idea was that for the Greek audience to open a window to the world, because Greece, we consider ourselves as a center of the world, you know, our ancient heritage, our civilization, ancient civilization and culture. But in our modern globalized times, Greece is a very small dot in the global map. So we thought that this would be a very useful tool for the Greeks to interpret their daily lives, let's say, because many important decisions that affect our lives are taken outside of the borders. For the global audience, it is also a very useful tool, because we are doing, let's say, our thematology is global. We are talking about issues that concern every active citizen of our globalized world. So it's the same things that worry, for example, German people or the French or the Swedish are exactly the same that concern people from the other side of the Atlantic. So that was the idea, to speak for to modern society, to make stories about people no matter where they live. Because my view is that the problems that, for example, a guy from Bolivia has affects me no matter the distance, no matter the society. And it happened. It worked for... we are doing this for 14 years, and we will continue to do it.
Having filmed in Latin America and elsewhere, your production work returned to Greece more recently with your documentaries The Lost Signal of Democracy and your most recent work titled Agora. Having filmed in these countries such as Argentina, which have experienced similar economic and social circumstances to those of Greece during the crisis, how do you compare these experiences?
Well, there are a lot of similarities between the case of Argentina and the case in Greece, as well as many differences. But let's talk about the similarities here. We are witnessing the same austerity measures, austerity measures in Argentina led to the collapse of the country in 2001. Again, in Greece, we can see that the austerity policies do not lead anywhere. The medicine is killing the patient. And you can see all these similarities regarding, let's say, privatizations. You know, in Argentina, they privatized almost 300 public companies, and still the debt was very high and they couldn't manage to pay it back. We are witnessing rather the same in Greece. And for me, Agora was a huge cry, let's say, against these austerity policies, a cry from Greece to the world. And I think it is a very useful tool for the Greek audience, of course, and for the international audience, in order to understand what exactly is happening in Greece. In Greece, we have a social tragedy. we have a humanitarian crisis. On the other hand, we have these austerity policies that it is not the solution. And many people, among them, many of those who installed the system, understand now that this is the wrong direction. And we have to change this. We have to stop it. Because if we don't, the only result would be the impoverishment of the society as well as fascism, the rise of the fascism. This is what we are witnessing now. And this is not very good for Europe. We can see all around Europe the same things happening. For example, the rise of ultranationalism, the rise of fascism. And we can watch, for example, 3 months ago in Belgium, thousands of protesters clashing with the police because of the austerity. So we can see that austerity is not only something that imposed in Greece, because as they say, the stereotypes say, we were living beyond our means, but it was imposed in Europe. And it was something that has been imposed stupidly and mistakenly. Because when you don't offer, when you are maintain this kind of austerity measures for a long time, you are making the crisis worse. And this is knowledge that the economists are having for a long time. It's not something new, and we have a lot of historical examples on this.
We are on the air with Greek documentary filmmaker Yorgos Avgeropoulos here on the Yadagos Radio. And Yorgo, let's talk some more about your recent work, Agora. This is a documentary, of course, which depicts the economic crisis as it has unfolded in Greece in recent years from a variety of different perspectives. What inspired you in 2010 to launch this project, which would involve filming over a number of years, and how were you able to gain support from German public broadcasting and from Al Jazeera in the process?
In 2010, when the Prime Minister Yorgos Papandreou asked for help from the IMF and said that here starts an odyssey for the country, I thought, oh my God, this is not going to be to develop very well. Because exactly, I had the Argentina experience, let's say. So I thought that I have to turn my camera towards my own country now and to work in my homeland. And because I could see that images or issues that I was hunting in Latin America and Africa, I could see in my homeland now. So I started. The only thing I knew at that time that is that it's going to be a long-term observation project. And for me, that was great because it was the first time that I had this kind of opportunity. The only thing I knew was that I wanted to follow people's lives for a long time. And that happened at the end of 2011. The project was presented in international documentary pitching forums, and it found immediately supporters, WDR, the public German television, and Al Jazeera Arabic, who were very impressed by the long-term observation aspect, as well as with the people that were participating in Agora, because in Agora they are participating almost everybody from the Greek political scene, as well as major personalities from the international scene, key experts, politicians, economists from both sides of the Atlantic, etc. So they thought that this is a global project, and of course it's the Greek perspective, which was very important for them, because you know the story, it was heard only from the foreign media, let's say, from the main global media outlets. So they wanted to hear the story from the Greek perspective. And yes, this is how we managed to find support and move on. As I said, Agora is a huge cry against the austerity policies. And one can ask, well, why WDR in Germany wants to screen to the audience, to the Germans, a story that questions, let's say, the main policy of the country? Well, because it proves that still in the public media of Europe, there is space for the alternative voice, which is well documented. Something that existed also in Greece, but disappeared during the times of crisis. Because one of the victims of the crisis is in Greece, is information. And it's the first time in my life that I'm witnessing all the main, let's say, mass media singing the same song. It's the first time in my life.
One could say that the title of the documentary, Agora, has a double meaning of sorts and a definition which has shifted considerably from the ancient origins of the word up until the present time. What does the term Agora mean for you?
Agora was the heart of democracy in the ancient Greek city-states. It was the center of the athletic, spiritual, and economic life. Nowadays, in modern Greek, the word agora means simply a marketplace. So it's a huge contrast between the two terms. And I think that it symbolizes exactly what is happening nowadays, not only in Greece, but in Europe. Because the first victim of the crisis in Europe is democracy. And there are many examples, both in Greece and Europe, that they can prove this. I can tell you the story, for example. In 2011, the Italians called to vote in a referendum if they want to privatize their public water system. And the Italians voted for a vast majority not to privatize their water system. The percentage was over 95%. 1 week later, Jean-Claude Trichet and Mario Draghi sent a letter to Berlusconi, which was published in Repubblica newspaper. In this letter, Draghi and Trichet were asking Berlusconi, despite the results of the referendum, what are you going to do with the privatization of the water in Italy? So we can see that the willing of the people is not of importance for the European elite. And this shows us that democracy, our democracy, is at stake. Because what is the biggest conquest, let's say, of Europe? It's democracy. It's not markets economy. So we have to protect it. Democracy is at stake nowadays in Europe because of the lobbies in Brussels, because of many things, and of course because of the European elites. And I think that we have passed the doorstep of what Colin Crunch has said in 2000, has described as post-democracy. Post-democracy is a term describing that you have all the institutions there. Parties are there, elections are there, there is the rule of law, governments fall and coming again. It's all there. But the center of our political system has shifted towards a rather secret, narrow relationship between a very powerful business elite and the political elite, who are increasingly disconnected from the population. This is what is happening in Europe now, and I think that Greece and Italy were the perfect examples of post-democracy during 2012. I remember, for example, as a prime minister, the ex-vice president of the European Central Bank, Lucas Papadimos, as well in Italy, Mr. Monti. So nobody have elected these people, and they were prime ministers of the countries.
It is well known that there are many prevalent stereotypes about Greece and the Greek people, and these stereotypes have been reinforced during the crisis by many international media outlets. How does Agora attempt to address those stereotypes and to give a different perspective on how the average Greek has experienced the crisis?
Well, yes, we all know the stereotypes, the lazy Greeks, that they are not working and they are corrupted, blah, 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 blah. And the answer in this is that we are not lazy. Oh my God. We are hardworking people, just all the other people on the planet. The problem is that there is a lesson. You know, behind the austerity policy, let's say, there is a kind of moral policy that says people must be punished, and if they find things hard, they're going to work harder. This is never the problem. The problem was banks very happy to lend money and politicians very happy to solve their problems by going into relationships with them. Bank and political leaders are the people who needed to learn a lesson. Ordinary Greeks, Italians, Spanish, Portuguese people work just hard, maybe harder than anyone else. This is the problem, and we have to understand it. And we have also to understand that Greece is only a small part of a larger continent-wide austerity policy, austerity program that has been stupidly and mistakenly imposed on Europe. And these kind of policies are there, and they are killing societies. Greece was never the problem. Greece is a tiny economy. The problem in the beginning of this adventure was that the Greek case could tip over a closer examination of the bank assets which were held in major European banks, and that could create a panic in the credit markets. That was the problem, and we have to understand this. And also we have to understand that the German taxpayer, the Finnish taxpayer, in every 100 euros that they were giving supposedly to save the lazy Greeks, from this money, only the 1 euro and 80 cents ended up in real life. The rest of them, the 98 euros and 20 cents, returned directly back to the banks and to the bondholders with interest. So it was a very nice investment to invest in a bankrupt country.
We are on the air with Greek documentary filmmaker Yorgos Avgeropoulos here on the Alagos Radio, and Yorgo Agora will be screened in a number of locations both within and outside of Greece in the near future. It already has been screened in many locations, and it has also earned several awards and distinctions at various film festivals along the way. Tell us about the upcoming screening schedule and what the response has been like so far.
Agora has been broadcasted by numerous TV networks in Canada, Middle East, as well as Europe. And the reaction is extremely positive. Last week was screened in WDR in Germany, and we have flooded from messages of German people saying, "We are sorry, we are not the government of the country, but we can understand." Others said, "Thank you for explaining us things by another perspective. We needed that in order to understand what is going on, really." There are also comments like, "We can see in our social state in Germany the black clouds on the horizon already." You know, the reaction is extremely positive, and we are very happy on this because, you know, Agora has a different, let's say, reaction between the two audiences, and I mean Greeks and non-Greeks. For Greeks is something that they know it already, they live it. So they are in the cinema because Agora is in the cinemas of Greece. They are in the cinema watching the movie, and when the movie ends, they walk out of the cinema and the movie continues. First of all is this, and it's a tool for them in order not to forget. Because if we want to move forward our society, we have to become good citizens. Because, you know, democracy is not something that has to do with elections. We thought that we are good citizens if we go every 4 years to vote, but this is not the case. Democracy is about citizenship. It's about being active in politics. And when I'm using the word politics, I'm referring to the Aristoteles meaning of the word, the act of a citizen towards its city, his city. So a good citizen has the obligation not to forget and to remember in order the same mistakes not to be repeated. For the international audience, it's a shock because they can understand that they don't know the reality of Greece. And also, they realize that if these things can happen in a country of the European South, then they can easily reach their own backyard. And we can see it happening.
Before we wrap up, what other projects and productions are you presently working on that we could expect to see from you in the near future?
Well, there are a lot of ideas, but not from a concrete, let's say, project yet. So I'd rather prefer not to speak on this. But I'm thinking of course, continuing doing what I'm doing. Maybe continue Agora, I don't know yet. And I believe in the power of documentaries. Documentary is a political act, and I think that doing documentaries like, for example, Agora, you contribute in the public dialogue, not only in Greece, but in, you know, in the audience of the whole world.
Yorgos, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Galagos Radio and the Galagos Interview Series, and best of luck with your continued endeavors.
Thank you, Michalis.
Attention iTunes users, the Galagos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Galagos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Galagos Interview Series here on the Galagos Radio, where we spoke with Greek documentary filmmaker Yorgo Avigeropoulos. As with all of our interviews, the podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, thegalagosmedia.org, where you can also find all of our on-demand programming, our articles and written work, our past playlists, and listen to our online radio station, the Galagos Radio 24/7. Our podcasts are also available in the official the Galagos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Marketplace, and the Nobex Radio, WeCast, and Player FM apps for various smartphones. We'll get back to some music now here on the Galagos Radio, and we'll follow that up with our commentary of the week.
Βραδιές θα μ' αρνηθείς, χίλιες θα με ζητήσεις. Κι όπου κι αν πας κι όπου σταθείς, όσο κι αν θες να μ' αρνηθείς, θα θυμηθείς τον ερωτά που ζήσαμε. Θα προσπαθείς το παρελθόν να σβήσεις. Μα όταν θα έρθει μια βραδιά να σε τυλίξει μοναξιά, θα θυμηθείς και τη δική μου συντροφιά.
Περπατάμε παράλληλα κι όλα είναι ακατάλληλα για να σμίξουμε πάλι. Παράλληλα σαν φωνιάδες σκοτώσαμε την αγάπη που νιώσαμε γιατί ήταν μεγάλη. Ήταν μια αγάπη δυνατή, όμως τη δύσκολη στιγμή την παρατήσανε χωρίς αιτία κι αφορμή. Πέσαμε πάνω σαν τρελή και τη διαλύσαμε. Παράλληλα, περπατάμε παράλληλα κι όλα είναι ακατάλληλα για να σμίξουμε πανί. Περπατάμε παράλληλα και στο ίδιο κατάλημα δε θα ζούμε τα βράδια. Παράλληλα σαν φωτιές αργό σβήνουμε και στο τέλος θα μείνουμε δύο σωματάδια. Ήταν μια αγάπη δυνατή, όμως τη δύσκολη στιγμή την παρατήσαμε χωρίς αιτία κι αφορμή. Πέσαμε πάνω σαν τρελή και τη διαλύσαμε. Ήταν μια αγάπη δυνατή, όμως τη δύσκολη στιγμή την παρατήσανε χωρίς αιτία κι αφορμή. Πέσαμε πάνω σαν τρελή και τη διαλύσαμε. Παράλληλα περπατάμε παράλληλα, όλα είναι ακατάλληλα για να σμίξουμε πανί.
Εξοχής τα πρωινά θα τα βρούμε ξανά αγκαλιά στο κρεβάτι. Και δεν πειράζει που τόσο νωρίς θα κοιτάμε χωρίς να γυρεύουμε κάτι. Τη σιγουριά στα υλικά είναι λόγια γλυκά σε κασέτες γραμμένα. Για αυτά που ήρθανε τόσο αργά, μα τα πήρε η καρδιά με τα χέρια ανοιγμένα. Η σωτηρία της ψυχής είναι πολύ μεγάλο πράγμα. Σαν ταξιδάκι αναψυχής με ένα κρυμμένο τραύμα. Η σωτηρία της ψυχής είναι πολύ μεγάλο πράγμα. Σαν ταξιδάκι αναψυχής με ένα κρυμμένο τραύμα. Ζωής μας
το βήμα. Και δεν πειράζει που τόσα φιλιά πριν να γίνουν παλιά θα τα πάρει το κύμα. Και εκεί στην άκρη της γραμμής τα χαρίζουμε εμείς τα παλιά μας κομμάτια. Σ' αυτά που ήταν τόσο μικρά μα που ρίχναν σκιά για να μοιάζουν παλάτια. Η σωτηρία της ψυχής είναι πολύ μεγάλο πράγμα. Σαν ταξιδάκι αναψυχής με ένα κρυμμένο τραύμα. Η σωτηρία της ψυχής είναι πολύ μεγάλο πράγμα. Σαν ταξιδάκι αναψυχής με ένα κρυμμένο τραύμα.
Η σωτηρία της ψυχής είναι πολύ μεγάλο πράγμα. Σαν ταξιδάκι αναψυχής με ένα κρυμμένο τραύμα. Η σωτηρία της ψυχής είναι πολύ μεγάλο πράγμα. Σαν ταξιδάκι αναψυχής με ένα κρυμμένο τραύμα.
Διάλογος Radio 24/7. Our online radio station, which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Diálogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com.
We just heard Alkistis Protopsathi here on Diálogos Radio with Isotiria Tis Psychis, while before that, we heard Notis Fakianakis with Paralila and Jenny Vanu with Hias Vradias. Coming up next here on Diálogos Radio is our commentary of the week. Diálogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Nevradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on Diálogos Radio. Over the past month, Greek Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis has become an international media darling for his supposedly tough stance toward the European Union and the German government, his purportedly radical rhetoric, and his often flamboyant attitude. In the past few weeks, interviews with Varoufakis and features about him have appeared in seemingly every media outlet imaginable except ours. He has written a New York Times op-ed, Bernie Sanders has written an article in Truthout giving his blessings to the new and supposedly radical Greek government, a V for Varoufakis meme is making the rounds on the internet, while CNBC has described Varoufakis and Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras as rebel leaders. If one cuts through all of this over-the-top hype and nonsense, however, what is the new government actually proposing? The answer to this question is that the new Syriza-led coalition government in Greece is proposing essentially more of the same. And by more of the same, what I mean is that they have officially proposed to maintain 70% of the existing memorandum agreements and austerity measures. Varoufakis has proposed to maintain a primary budget surplus for an economy that has shrunk by 25% over the past 6 years. He has ruled out a renegotiation of Greece's debt, and he has also ruled out the formation of a committee that would audit Greece's national debt. And when Varoufakis' proposal for continuation of 70% of the existing austerity agreements didn't fly, he followed that up with his new proposal, this time to extend the existing agreements with the Troika in full for another 6 months. This means a continuation of all the existing austerity measures, no new measures that would lead to increased increased government expenditures, which means that many of Syriza's promises to rehire fired public sector employees or to increase the minimum wage are thrown immediately out the window. And of course, it means the maintenance of a strict primary budget surplus, which will not enable the government to enforce its own supposedly Keynesian agenda to increase spending in order to promote economic growth. Supposedly, Varoufakis' proposal will allow Greece to buy time, in this case 6 months, in order for the country to stand on its own feet again and for the economy to stabilize. But how exactly is the Greek economy expected to stabilize when what is being proposed is the continuation of the same policies which have led to a GDP reduction of 25% in 6 years and unemployment which has neared 28%? 6 months from now, Greece will have two more bond issues to repay, which in total will surpass 6 billion euros. What will Varoufakis be telling us then? Will he use this new debt deadline to once again say that austerity measures need to be extended, that Greece needs to buy even more time? And yet, this is the same economist and finance minister who is a media darling, who I keep hearing ordinary people describing as a bright man, as a hero, as someone who is standing up to the bullies of the European Union. And yet, in all of his public statements, he keeps talking about saving Europe and the European people, but never about saving Greece and the Greek people, which he was elected to represent. And you can't dare criticize him either. That immediately makes you a traitor, someone who is not patriotic, someone who apparently wishes for Greece to fail, and who is taking the side of the Germans. And when I state that you can't dare criticize Varoufakis or Syriza anymore, I mean it. Recently, I proposed submitting various articles, commentaries, and reports to outlets ranging from The Guardian to Democracy Now, who have constantly featured stories about Syriza in recent weeks. They have not responded. Meanwhile, after being invited to participate in an NPR radio panel that would discuss Syriza and the ongoing political developments in Greece, I was then uninvited from the same panel and not given the opportunity to participate. Back at home in Greece, we've heard the oh-so-leftist Syriza government announce in the past couple of weeks that payment of the regressive unified property tax, which was introduced by the previous government and which until recently Syriza described as unconstitutional, is now a, quote, patriotic duty. And meanwhile, Syriza's much-promised increase of the minimum wage has been pushed back to at least 2016. Syriza's most egregious move, however, has been its nominee for the presidency of the Hellenic Republic, Prokopis Pavlopoulos, who was almost immediately elected by the parliament with 233 votes in favor. Pavlopoulos is a member of the conservative New Democracy Party, was interior minister for the New Democracy government between 2004 and 2009, and he was at the helm at a time when his government was rocked by a number of major scandals, including the destructive 2007 forest fires in much of Greece, and the police murder of an unarmed teenager in Athens in December 2008, leading to violent riots. Pavlopoulos is renowned for his corruption and patronage, and is said to have hired well over 100,000 New Democracy supporters to various posts in the Greek public sector without going through the legally prescribed hiring and examination process. Pavlopoulos claims that his nomination was a surprise, but the facts state otherwise. In a surprise move, he did not declare candidacy with New Democracy for the January 25th parliamentary elections, and his own son, on his personal Facebook account, essentially stated that his father would be nominated several days before the official announcement was made by Syriza. Alexis Tsipras and other Syriza members and supporters have gone to creative lengths to excuse this nomination, stating the need for someone with a democratic background and broad political acceptance. These criteria, however, if they are even applicable to Pavlopoulos, are also certainly much more applicable to many other figures, including individuals who are not in politics and individuals who are on the left. The president is the one who will sign off on new laws and presidential decrees, and he is the political figure who will still be there even if the supposedly leftist government of Syriza collapses. His nomination by Syriza signals the continuation of the old political system and of patronage. Moreover, it is absolutely unnecessary. Syriza was able to elect the president with a simple parliamentary majority in the second round of presidential voting, and with a simple majority of those members of parliament who would be present for the third round of voting. There was no need to compromise or to reach across the aisle. Once again, we must beg the question, are there no other suitable candidates, such as scholars and professors, figures from the arts and culture, or even fresh political faces from the left? Or is it perhaps that Syriza did not want someone who might question the austerity deals that it will end up agreeing to with Germany and the European Union, and which the president will be called upon to approve? We keep hearing that politics is a game of compromise, compromise, that Syriza needs to compromise both internally and externally in order to someday, down the line, achieve its supposed agenda. But my question is, when does the right ever compromise? Why is it that conservative right-wing governments never feel the need to nominate a left-wing politician to a prominent post? Most members of the conservative New Democracy Party voted for Pavlopoulos, though perhaps ironically, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, the former government minister of New Democracy who wanted to proceed forward with more layoffs, was not present during the vote and stated that he will not support Pavlopoulos' candidacy. On the other hand, the supposedly far-left Syriza members of parliament, including Panayotis Lafazanis and Kostas Lapavitsas, stated that they will vote for Pavlopoulos and then went ahead and did so. There are times where I hate to be proven correct, but these are all things that I have been warning about for months here on the Alawis Radio and in various articles that I have written. I've been warning that Syriza will backtrack on its supposedly radical positions, that it will cave to pressure, that it will continue austerity, that it will continue the same political realities of the past, that it will nominate a conservative for the presidency, and that's made me the bad guy on more than one occasion. It's also, however, proven me correct. Instead, what do we keep hearing from pro-government apologists is that we should give Syriza more time, that Syriza has only been in power for less than a month, that not supporting Syriza means that you support the previous government and austerity and adjournments and the Troika. We keep hearing that public opinion polls in Greece show remarkably high support for Syriza and its stance so far since the elections. Why should we believe these polls, however? These are the same polling firms that were so wildly off the mark with their pre-election projections earlier this year, before the European parliamentary elections in 2014, and before the previous parliamentary elections in 2012, and which are renowned for their political motivations and biases. We keep hearing also that Syriza is governing with a wide mandate. Excuse me, but which mandate are we talking about? Syriza was elected with 36% of the vote among those who voted. 3.5 million registered voters did not vote, over a million more people than those who voted for Syriza. If there was a message sent by the Greek electorate, it was one of indifference toward the existing political establishment, which Syriza is very much a part of. Instead of people questioning Syriza's very apparent shift toward the right and its abandonment of its pre-election promises and its more radical positions of years past, we see rallies throughout Greece and in major cities around the world, supposedly to demonstrate solidarity towards Greece, but also showing solidarity and support for Syriza as well, against the blackmail of the Germans in the European Union. One has to wonder, though, where were similar rallies and gatherings to stand up to Europe's blackmail, as well as the prior government's policies, in the three previous years? Who is suddenly organizing these rallies everywhere? Will there be protests against Syriza's choice for the presidency, or will that be swallowed with quiet acceptance by Syriza's supposedly radical supporters who claim that they wanted a break with the old system? Exactly how much time does a government which has already broken many of its campaign promises in record time need to be given? What else should the Greek people be asked to accept? And why should Syriza receive support when they are proving to be not any different than the previous political establishment and are indeed incorporating that establishment into their government today? The only good aspect of this whole situation is that, aside from Syriza, the European Union and Germany, as well as the United States government, have shown their true colors. U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew warned Varoufakis of the, quote, immediate hardship that will follow if Greece does not reach an agreement with the European Union. The German government's rejection of even a 70% continuation of austerity and a somewhat smaller budget surplus, and instead their demands for a full continuation of all previously agreed upon austerity measures, has revealed what their intentions are and indeed their humanity or lack thereof. They want it all, and with Syriza's soft negotiation, the German government knows it can get everything it wants, as seen by Varoufakis suddenly proposing a six-month continuation of the existing agreements. Yet this seems to be acceptable to Syriza's supporters and to the clueless global left. The reality, however, is this. Syriza is the same, and its supporters are the same, as their predecessors. Solidarity with Syriza means solidarity with austerity. They are a bunch of frauds and imposters, leftist in name only, and they have nothing to do with anything resembling radical or leftist.
Take the Alawis Radio on the go with you with the new the Alawis Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to the Alawis Radio and the Alawis Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles, all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store.
We just wrapped up our commentary of the week here on the Alawis Radio, and coming up next is a special musical feature on Greek singer Kostas Makedonas.
πως κρέμα ανταλλάς, ο καιρός που κουβαλάς. Η ζωή σου μια ταλίκα με μπαγαζιά και με οικά. Τώρα αποκτήσες καβούκι και αμάξι σπορμοντέλο. Τώρα σκαλώσες το λούκι κι είσαι αλλιωτικό καπέλο. Ζωή σου ντουμπλε φας, μέσα κι έξω τη φοράς. Η καρδούλα σου γκαζιέρα, δίχως γκάζι και αέρα. Μες στο κόλπο είσαι χωμένος και γλιτώνεις παρατριχά. Τώρα είσαι βολεμένος και σου κόψανε το βήχα. Θυμάσαι τα παλιά ψέματα και μπλα μπλα μπλα. Η μαγιά σου ναφθαλίνη με κασμίρι και λουστρινή. Τώρα κάνεις μαύρη πλάκα κι όλο τρως απ' την κουταλά. Τώρα μάγκωσε η φάκα και σε κλείσανε στη γυαλά.
We kicked off our special musical feature on Greek singer Kostas Makedonas here on the Alagos Radio with one of his well-known songs, Idalika. Kostas Makedonas, whose real name is Kostandinos Pakas, is one of the most well-known and popular singers of modern Greek music, with a career spanning over 2 decades and with numerous beloved songs that have become especially popular. Born on February 20th, 1967 in the city of Thessaloniki, Makedonas did not formally get involved with music until his collegiate years in Thessaloniki when he began to sing in various small restaurants and establishments. It was at one such establishment where he became acquainted with the well-known Greek musician and composer Stamatis Karaonakis, who helped Makedonas take the next step in his musical journey. In 1988, Makedonas moved to Athens, where he began to appear alongside some major names in the Greek music scene, including Viki Moskoyou and Tania Tsanaklidou, while that same year his debut album, titled Δεν Έχω Ιδέα, was released, featuring music composed by Karaonakis and the lyrics by Lina Nikolakopoulou. In the years which have followed, Makedonas has collaborated with numerous marquee musicians and artists, including Thanos Mikroutsikos, Dionysis Tsaknis, Manos Eleftheriou, Manolis Rasoulis, Alkistis Protopsati, and Yannis Markopoulos. In 2005, he was honored by the Vatican alongside other artists for his free appearances for social causes. In all, Makedonas has produced over 12 albums and has made numerous live appearances and concerts. We'll enjoy some more of his music now here on the Alagos Radio as we continue our special musical feature.
Κοιτάχτηκαμε, μετά ερωτευτήκαμε κι ύστερα βρεθήκαμε άλλη μια φορά. Πρώτη μου φορά σε θολά νερά έμαθα κολύμπι και πως λένε το για χαμπίμπι. Πρώτη μου φορά ύστερα κανόνισα και δε σου τηλεφώνησα ούτε μια φορά. Κι ύστερα κανόνισα
χιόνισα και δε σου τηλεφώνησα ούτε μια φορά. Μόνο μια φορά, κρίμα στη χαρά. Θα έρθουν εκεί φίλοι μου να μάθουν το ρεζίλι μου. Μάτωσα τα χείλη μου άλλη μια φορά. Μόνο μια φορά φτάνει σοβαρά η καρδιά του ανθρώπου να βρεθεί στο επιτόπου λιώμα φανερά. Μόνο μια φορά έκλαψα για σένα πικρά κι ύστερα κανόνισα και δεν σου τηλεφώνησα ούτε μια φορά. Ύστερα κανόνισα και δε σου τηλεφώνησα ούτε μια φορά. Ύστερα κανόνισα και δε σου τηλεφώνησα ούτε μια φορά.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. More music by Kostas Makedonas as we continue our special musical feature here on Dialogos Radio, where we just heard Mono Mia Fora. This is Dialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program, which bridges the worldwide Greek community each week with broadcasts on 17 radio stations across 5 continents, on shortwave and online. Today's broadcast is just about ready to come to a close, but we will be back again next week, same time, same place, with an interview with economist Roger Boodle, who is an advisor to the British House of Commons, a regular columnist in The Telegraph, and a candidate for the prestigious Wolfson Prize in Economics for his proposals as to how Eurozone member states can exit from the euro in an orderly fashion. We will discuss these important issues with Mr. Boodle next week as part of our Dialogos interview series. We will wrap up today's program with one final song, once again by Kostas Makedonas, titled Protofthinoporo. Thank you for joining us once again this week here on Dialogos Radio, and have a wonderful weekend.
Η σκέψη μου δεν βρίσκει άκρη. Απόψε λύγησε η αντοχή. Απόψε η σκέψη μου δεν βρίσκει άκρη. Απόψε λύγησε η αντοχή. Ένα σκοτεινιάσμα που με βαραίνει. Ανάμνηση
στα μαχαίρια. Πρώτο φθινόπωρο που με πεθαίνει, πρώτο φθινόπωρο χωρίς χαρά. Μην ξαναρθεί.